ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 2 அவிரோத அத்யாயம் பாதா 2 ரச்சனா அனுபபத்யதிகரணம் ரச்சனா அனுபபத்தேஷ்ச ந அனுமானம் பிரவிருத்தேஷ்ச பயோ அம்புவச்சேத் தத்ராபி வ்யதிரேக அனவஸ்திதேஹே ச அனபேக்ஷத்வாத் அந்யத்ர பாவாச்ச ந த்ருணாதிவத் அப்யுபகமேபி அர்த்தாபாவாத் புருஷாஸ்மவத் இதி சேத் ததாபி அங்கித்வ அனுபபத்தேஷ்ச அந்யதா அனுமிதௌ ச ந்யசக்தி வியோகாத் விப்ரதிஷேதாச்ச அசமஞ்சசம் மகத்தீர்காதிகரணம் மகத்தீர்கவத்வா ஹ்ரஸ்வ பரிமண்டலாபியாம் பரமாணு ஜகத் அகாரணத்வ அதிகரணம் உபயதாபி ந கர்ம அதஹ ததபாவஹ சமவாய அப்யுபகமாச்ச சாம்யாத் அனவஸ்திதேஹே நித்யமேவச பாவாத் ரூபாதிமத்வாச்ச விபர்யயஹ தர்ஷனாத் உபயதாச்ச தோஷாத் அபரிக்ரஹாச்ச அத்யந்தம் அனபேக்ஷா சமுதாயாதிகரணம் சமுதாய உபயஹேதுகேபி தத் அப்ராப்திஹ இதர இதர ப்ரத்யயத்வாத் இதி சேத் ந உற்பத்தி மாத்ர நிமித்தத்வாத் உத்தரோத்பாதே ச பூர்வநிரோதாத் அசதி பிரதிஜோபரோத யோகபத்யம் அந்யதாம். ஸோ வி சா தி 21st சூத்ரா. அசதி பிரதிஜோபரோத யோகபத்யம் அந்யதா இன் த லாஸ்ட் கிளாஸ் வேர் தி சமுதாயவாத நிராசா வாஸ்டம் நெகேஷன். ஸோ வி ஹவ் ரெஃப்யூட்டட் நவ் சோ ஃபார் 3 டாபிக்ஸ். வாட் ஆர் தோஸ்? சமுதாயவாத, தென் பிரதீத்திய சமுற்பத்திவாத, அண்ட் காரண காரிய சம்பந்தவாத. அண்ட் வி தே வாண்ட் டு ஹோல்ட் ஆன் டு காரண காரிய சம்பந்தவாத, தென் தி க்ஷணிகத்துவவாத வில் பி நெகேட்டட். ஸோ 3 ஆஃப் தம் ஆர் ஓவர் நவ். வி வில் கோ டு த நெக்ஸ்ட் இம்பார்ட்டன்ட் டாபிக் ஆஃப் புத்திசம், விச் வியாசாச்சாரியா இஸ் கோயிங் டு ரெஃப்யூட் இன் த நெக்ஸ்ட் சூத்ரா. சூத்ரா நம்பர் 22. லெட் அஸ் ரீட் 22. பிரதிசங்கியா பிரதிசங்கியா நிரோதா ப்ராப்தி அவிச்சேதாத். 193rd பிரம்மசூத்ரா. ஸோ தி ஆர்குமெண்ட் அகேன்ஸ்ட் தி தியரி ஆஃப் புத்திசம் இஸ் கண்டினியூட். லெட் அஸ் டூ தி ஜெனரல் அனாலிசிஸ் ஃபர்ஸ்ட். புத்திசம், எஸ்பெஷலி தி ஹீனயான புத்திசம் ஆர் தி சர்வ அஸ்தித்வாத புத்திசம், இட் டாக்ஸ் அபவுட் 3 கைண்ட்ஸ் ஆஃப் நத்திங்னஸ். Three kinds of nothingness. Nayayikas are one step ahead and they talk about 4 kinds of nothingness. And for the 3 kinds of nothingness, they give 3 technical words, paribhashika shabdaha, and they use nothingness as abhavaha. And they translate it differently. And one word is nirupakhyam. Nirupakhyam is a technical word. It means total abhavaha. And you cannot talk about it at all. It is total abhavaha. And another word is niswarupam. And another word is avastu. And another word is tuccha. So, and another popular word is abhavaha. And Vyasacharya chooses the word different from all the 5. And he uses the word nirodaha. So the word nirodaha is used in the sutra. And we can understand it as abhavaha or tuccham, nothingness. And what are the 3 kinds of nothingness now? The first kind of nothingness is pratisankhya nirodaha. Pratisankhya nirodaha. It is one type of non-existence. One type of nothingness, non-existence. And the second one is apratisankhya nirodaha. It is another type of non-existence. And the third one is akashaha, the space. So according to Buddhism, akasha is nothingness or emptiness only, shunyata. Okay. Now, pratisankhya nirodha is the nothingness caused by the deliberate destruction of a thing. Deliberate destruction. That means an artificial end of things. It is like destroying a chair or killing a person. Prati. Prati is equal to pratikula. And sankhya means bhavana. So it is hostility. It is enmity. When do you destroy a thing? You destroy a thing when you are not in favor of its existence. You put an end to that. Therefore, artificial destruction is always preceded by an attitude of enmity or hostility. You don't want that to exist. Therefore, it is called pratisankhya nirodha. So, pratikula bhavana nimitta nirodha. Pratikula bhavana. It is not anukula bhavana, pratikula bhavana. So, hereafter we will translate it as artificial end of a thing, deliberate destruction. That is pratisankhya nirodha. And the next one is apratisankhya nirodha. And there is no pratikula bhavana in anyone. That is, no one has deliberately destroyed any object. The object had a natural end. Therefore, it is an end not preceded by a pratikula bhavana. So we will call it as natural end compared to artificial end. And the word natural end indirectly reveals what? The nothingness caused by the natural end. It means the nothingness only, but the nothingness caused by a natural end. Therefore, even though I use the word end, in your mind, what idea should come? The nothingness caused by the natural end. Therefore, first one is nothingness caused by the artificial end, that is pratisankhya nirodha, and the second one is nothingness caused by natural end, apratisankhya nirodha. And the third one is akashaha, space. Space is nothingness, but it is not nothingness caused by natural end or artificial end, but it is an eternally existing nothingness. Space is an eternally existing nothingness. The first two are caused nothingness. The nothingness caused by some reason. Caused nothingness. Therefore, they are janyam. They are born. And the third one is uncaused nothingness. And therefore, it is called nityam. It is not janyam, but it is nityam. Space is nityam. Therefore, it is nitya nirodha or nitya abhavaha. Therefore, in Buddhism, akasha is eternal nothingness. These are the three kinds of avastus. Vastu, avastus, refuted by Vyasacharya in these sutras. So, nothingness is not there. That is the proof. That is what he is going to negate. Nothingness is not there. So, the first two are negated in two sutras, sutras 22 and 23rd. And in the third sutra, akasha, that is going to be negated. And that concept of akasha is negated means we should be careful. It is the concept of Buddhist, the akasha concept of Buddhist that is being negated. And how does Vyasacharya negate that? First, we will see the general analysis of this sutra, and we will then come to the word analysis. So first one is artificial end. And this apratisankhya nirodha. First, we will see maybe the other one. So, pratisankhya nirodha. And Vyasacharya says that Buddhists can never talk of artificial or deliberate destruction. Artificial or deliberate destruction, Buddhists cannot talk of at all. Because we don't require to deliberately destroy anything according to Buddhism, because in Buddhism, everything is kshanikam. Means even before one plans to destroy and implement the destructive process, the poor thing is gone. And therefore, there is no question of deliberate destruction because it is not required. It is going to go away anyway in a moment. Also, deliberate destroyer also cannot exist. Because to deliberately destroy First, he has to contemplate, meditate, and all that thing. So we need deliberation. And then it has to be destroyed. There is no question of deliberately destroying, because before thinking of destruction, the destroyer himself will not be there. The next kshanikam, being everything is momentary. Therefore, deliberate destroyer is non-existent. And deliberate destruction is not required, irrelevant. And therefore, you cannot talk of pratisankhya nirodha, artificial destruction apraptihi. And more about it is going to be clarified by Vyasacharya in the next sutra. We'll see that. And in this sutra, he has negated it actually. So in the next sutra, he will add one or two more points. And the next one is apratisankhya nirodha, natural destruction, naturally ended. And Vyasacharya says that also is not possible, because when Buddhists talk about natural end of a thing, the end they talk of is total destruction of a thing. They talk about absolute destruction or niranvaya nashaha. Sanvaya and niranvaya nashaha visa. It is total destruction without a trace. And Vyasacharya says, you cannot talk about it because pratyaksha pramana is against it. Matter can never be totally destroyed. Even science say this. Matter can never be destroyed. That is why in Vedanta also, end or death is also included in these sixfold modifications, shat vikaras. It's an important thing. We should always remember, destruction or end is one of the six modifications. What are those? Asti, jayate, vardate, viparinamate, apakshiyate, virashyati, asti. It is potentially existing in the womb of the mother. Jayate, it's born. Vardate, grows. Viparinamate, changes. Apakshiyate, decays. Vinashyati, dies. So even though we use the word vinashyati, it is also one of the modifications only, vikaras. So when body is destroyed, it is reduced to what? Dust or ashes. And even water evaporates, vapor remains. So if matter is fully destroyed, it is converted to energy. Therefore, niranvaya nasha is pratyaksha viruddha. It is pratyaksha viruddha. Similarly, niranvaya nasha is anumana viruddha also. So niranvaya nasha is shastra viruddha cha. All the threes. Pratyaksha viruddha, it is against pratyaksha pramanas. Anumana viruddha and shastra viruddha. As Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, na sato vidyate bhavaha, na bhavo vidyate sataha, ubayo rapi drishtontaha, tvanayostatva darshibihi, sataha abhavaha nasti. And therefore, once a thing exists, it will continuously exist. Maximum its state or condition may change. Avastha Beda may take place. It may be in full manifest condition or in unmanifest condition or semi-manifest condition. Its shape may change. Therefore, there is no question of natural end to anything. Therefore, what is meant by Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu in Bhagavad Gita? We don't talk about niranvaya nasaha. When a person is born, he dies, means what? It is not niranvaya nasaha, because Lord Krishna himself clarifies. Avyakta adhini bhutani vyaktamadhyani bharata. Avyakta nidanan yeva tatraka paridevana. This is the vyakyanam actually for the jadasi dhruva murtihu, that line. So nothing is totally destroyed. One will go out of shape perhaps. That we are going through even as we speak now. Little bit more radical deformation is death. That is all. Therefore, apratisankhya nirodaha also cannot take place. That is natural destruction. Now let us go to the word analysis. First, let us see the running meaning of the sutra. The first word is a very long compound word. Pratisankhya, pratisankhya, nirodha, praptihi. This is one long word. That is, artificial and natural end are not perhaps possible. Avichedhat. Why? Because of continuity. Running meaning is this. So, pratisankhya, pratisankhya, nirodha, prapti is a compound word of four words. And pratisankhya, we saw the meaning earlier, as pratikula bhavana, which we can call it as artificial end. And apratisankhya, literally it means without pratikula bhavana, but we can translate it as a natural or non-artificial end. Non-artificial. Nirodha is end, which we should understand as nothingness in this context. Pradvamsa bhavaha, posterior non-existent in the language of Tarkikas. They call it pradvamsa bhavaha. So the word nirodha must be added to both the words, pratisankhya and apratisankhya. So pratisankhya nirodha and apratisankhya nirodha. First we have to form a compound with pratisankhya and apratisankhya, so dvandva samasa. And that dvandva samasa should be combined with nirodha, then only samasa will become all right. Anyway, that's a different issue. Therefore, pratisankhya nirodha and apratisankhya nirodha, artificial and natural end, then apraptihi. Apraptihi means impossible. It cannot happen. Asambhavaha. Then the next word is, so pratisankhya nirodha, apratisankhya nirodha yoho, apraptihi asambhavaha. Then next word is what? Avichedat. Avichedat. So vichedaha means break and end, cessation. It is used especially when there is a flow and the flow is stopped. It is called vichedaha. Vichinna sampradayaha. Even in family parampara, if in one parampara there is a family with no children, they call it as santana vichedaha. Break on santati vichedaha. Break on the link of our continuity. Actually, when we do big, you know, homas and all, we do, the homam is aupasana homam we do. And at that time, the priest will say, vichinna agni sandhanam, because we are supposed to do aupasanam every day, but it was not done. So there is a break. So vichinna agni sandhanam. And also when we talk about acharyas, we say avichinna parampara. There is no break at all, right from day one, the continuity is maintained. So, avichedaha means non-cessation, non-break or continuity. And when we say continuity, where do we differ from the Buddhists? We should remember, Buddhists also talk about destruction, vinashaha. And in the word vinasha or destruction, we have no disagreement at all between them and us. We also accept every moment things are getting destroyed. Even our body, every moment cells are regenerated and destroyed. We accept everything that the Buddhists say. But what is the difference? When Buddhists talk about destruction, they talk about total destruction, which is niranvayanashaha. That part we do not accept. We say that even when a cell gets destroyed, it gets converted to something, or there is something else replaced by that. Therefore, sanvayanasaha angi kriyate, niranvayanasaha na angi kriyate. We don't accept niranvayanasaha, but take sanvayanasaha only. That is indicated by the word avichedat. Then Shankaracharya analyzes one or two more points. And Shankaracharya asks the question, when you talk about artificial end, natural end and all that, are you talking about the end of the individual or that of the series? When we say Ganga is eternally there, we don't talk of a particular water, because that part of water will flow into the ocean. We are talking about Ganga Pravaha or the flow. Similarly, Shankaracharya asked the question, are you talking about the series or flow when you talk about the end? Or are you talking about individual members of the series? Then he analyzes the individual members and he says, with regard to the individual member, there is no question of either artificial end or natural end. Artificial end is not possible because there is no relevance to artificial end. Why? Anyway, things are going to die according to you, momentary. In addition, there is question, no question of natural end also, because total destruction that you are talking about cannot take place, because things will continue to remain in one form or the other. That is why Nayayikas, they say, even when Pralaya comes, the Paramanus will remain, they will continue. So total destruction is not possible. So both the Vedantins and the Nayayikas, they agree on this. Therefore, if individual member cannot be artificially or naturally destroyed, then what to talk of the end of a series? No question of destruction of the series also. Therefore, santana nirodaha api na bhavati and santani nirodaha api na bhavati. Now let us go to the next sutra. Sutra 23rd. 194th Brahma Sutra. Ubayatacha doshat. Ubayatacha doshat. Argument again against the Buddhist theory is continued here also. We have the same adhikaranam, samudaya adhikaranam. It's a big adhikaranam as I told earlier. First, let us do the general analysis. Here, Vyasacharya deals with a particular case of pratisankhya nirodaha. Deliberate destruction. A particular kind of deliberate destruction or artificial end. Because deliberate destructions are several. When you are destroying, for example, a pot, it is deliberate destruction. It is pratisankhya nirodha only. But in this sutra, a particular pratisankhya nirodha is talked about. In fact, Buddhists has introduced this pratisankhya nirodha concept itself only for applying in this particular case only. This is like our adhyasa. You know, adhyasa in Vedanta. We are introducing adhyasa, superimposition, for what purpose? To explain samsara. Adhyasa is introduced in Vedanta to explain samsara. But where do we start with? We start with the Rajju Sarpa, rope snake, adhyasa. So adhyasa is not introduced for discussing Rajju Sarpa, even though one might perhaps like Sarpa. And so Sarpa has come into Vedanta perhaps. All those discussions won't happen. So there are certain concepts that are introduced. Similarly, pratisankhya nirodha is introduced by Buddhists for a particular purpose. And what is that purpose? It is for destroying samsara by deliberate sadhanas. So pratisankhya nirodha is introduced by the Buddhists for destroying samsara by deliberate sadhanas. Sadhana anushtanena samsarasya nashaha. The end of samsara will become pratisankhya nirodaha, because it is accomplished not naturally but through sadhanas. Buddhism has got huge shastras also, and they even have yama, niyamas, dhyanam, scriptures, all of them they have. And Shankaracharya uses the word marga upadeshaha, moksha marga upadeshaha, sadhana upadeshaha. Therefore, the end of samsara comes under what category now? Pratisankhya nirodha only. And how will it take place? He says, Buddhist says, samsara nirodha will take place by destruction of the 12 members of samsara nidhanam, samsara karanam, beginning with avidya that we saw in the last class. The 12 members starting with avidya. This was discussed actually in the 19th sutra, Pratitya Samutpatti Vadaha, where we talked about a cycle beginning with avidya. So please refer to that lecture. Generally, 12 members are enumerated, but Shankaracharya added a few more also. I read all of them in the last class from the Bhashya itself. And what are they doing? According to Buddhists, by sadhana, they do the deliberate destruction of the first member in the series. In the series of 12 members, they do deliberate destruction of the first member by sadhana. What is the first member? It is avidya. So by jnanam or enlightenment, the destruction of avidya takes place first. Jnanena avidya nivrittau samsara nashaha. So once we listen to this, we also conclude that Vedanta and Buddhism are same only. Because they also say jnanena, by jnanam avidya nivrittihi. So jnanena avidya nivritti dvara samsara nashaha. They also say, we also say the same thing. How is it accomplished? Avidya nivritti will remove the next nam according to them. According to this, avidya nivritti, by removing avidya, it will remove the next member in the series. Then chain reaction. Second member, when you remove, third goes, fourth goes, fifth goes, and all. And all members go away. Therefore, the entire cycle is destroyed. Then samsara is destroyed according to them. Now, Shankaracharya asked the question whether this samsara, the series, is kshanikam or not. According to you, everything is kshanikam. So is this series, the samsara, is also kshanikam or not? And Buddhist has to naturally answer that everything is kshanikam. That is his vadas, kshanikavada. So why should a person do destruction of a kshanikam? Because it is going to be naturally destroyed after that moment. So where is the question of artificial destruction at all? Therefore, deliberate destruction of samsara does not exist at all. Therefore, marga upadesha anapeksha, no requirement of marga upadesha at all. Sadhanas are not required. Buddhistic literature itself is not required. Because anyone and everyone will be free from samsara. Now, to avoid that, the Buddhists would say samsara would not naturally end. In fact, samsara will not end naturally. It is Vedantic view also. Physical body may die, but samsara will never naturally end. Then all the Vedantic teachers, why should they struggle at all to talk about all Vedanta? And even if a person dies, samsara will not end. Punarjanma will come. That is our thinking. Therefore, if you say it will not naturally end, that means you talk about continuity of samsara chakra. And once you talk of continuity, kshanika hanihi. So kshanika theory will go away. Therefore, if you accept kshanikatvam, sadhanas are not required. And if you accept the necessity of sadhanas, then kshanikatvam will become meaningless. Therefore, ubhayata, both ways. Either way, if you accept kshanikatvam, sadhana becomes meaningless. And if you accept sadhana, kshanikatvam becomes irrelevant. This is the idea of this sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Doshat. Doshat means, since there are logical fallacies, ubhayata, in either case. Ubhayata means in either case. We have to complete this sentence by supplying your system or your philosophy is defective. That is sarva astitva vadaha ayuktaha. This is the running meaning. Now we will see the significance of the words. And the first significance is doshat. Doshat means logical fallacy. That's a dosha. It's panchami vibhakti. Because of logical fallacies, your system is defective. Then the next word is ubhayatha. It literally means in either case, that is, if kshanikatvam is accepted, there is dosha. And if it is not accepted also, there is dosha. That means if sadhanas are accepted, there will be dosha. And acceptance of sadhanas means what? We should remember acceptance of pratisankhya nirodaha, deliberate destruction of samsara, which is called pratisankhya nirodaha. And how the defect comes there? If kshanikatvam is accepted, that momentariness is accepted, sadhanas cannot be accepted because sadhanas are not required, not possible. That is the logical fallacy, which is called shastra vayartha. This is called shastra vayartha, Buddha shastra vayartha. Their shastram itself will become redundant, which means pratisankhya nirodha will not be there. Artificial end. And if you accept the shastras, that means kshanikatvam has to be given up. Because you think the shastra is required, and if shastra is not there, you think samsara will continue. Then continuity will be there. Therefore, there will be problems. So with these two sutras, Vyasacharya has refuted pratisankhya nirodham and apratisankhya nirodham. That is natural non-existence and artificial non-existence. Now, what is left out? We said there are threefold. Third one is akasha, space. Before we go to attempt to negate it, let us just only take stock of what this Adhikaranam tries to communicate so far, because I don't want to lose track of that. It has a large, big Adhikaranam. So in this Adhikaranam, Adhikaranam is topic. In this Adhikaranam, called the Samudaya Adhikaranam, Vyasacharya is refuting the Hinayana Buddhism, otherwise known as Sarva Astitvavada Buddhism, which is a mixture of Vaibhashika and Sautrantika Buddhism. I mentioned all that earlier. I'm only just recapping it. So important features of this Buddhism are refuted by Vyasacharya in this Adhikaranam. First, he refuted the Sanghata Vadaha, Samudaya or Sanghata, we saw that, which says that the creation is born out of the combination of basic building blocks known as Samudaya or Sanghata Vadaha. That was refuted first. And then Pratitya Samutpatti Vada was negated, which talks about the perpetuation of samsara with the help of the 12 factors, starting with avidya, which are supposed to move in a cyclic form in a chakra. So samsara nidana chakram. We saw this word also at that time. Then thirdly, the karana karya sambandhavada was negated, that they can never talk about karya karana sambandha, because karya karana sambandha requires the continuity or continued inherence of karanam in the karyam, which is not possible in the theory of kshanikatvam, momentariness. Thus, the karana karya sambandhavada was negated in the 20th and 21st sutras, and thereafter in the 22nd, 23rd and 24th sutras, Vyasacharya is refuting the abhavatrayavadaha, the theory that there is a threefold non-existence, abhavatrayam. And this abhavatrayam in their system is known as pratisankhya nirodha, apratisankhya nirodha and akashaha. Pratisankhya nirodha means what? The non-existence caused by the deliberate destruction or artificial end, caused by a deliberate action. And the non-existence caused by natural end is called apratisankhya nirodha. And the space is the third abhava, third nothingness, which they call as avarana abhavaha. But space is defined as absence of things. What is space? Absence of things. So of these three abhavas, of these three nothingnesses, two have been negated in Sutra 22 and 23, wherein Vyasacharya pointed out that there is no scope for discussing artificial end at all, because even before we discuss artificial end, things will end naturally because of kshanikatvam, because everything naturally ends every moment. And where is the scope for the discussion of artificial ends? Therefore, it becomes out of scope. Then the next question is, what about the natural end of things? For which we gave the answer, we agree with natural ends, but we do not agree with their definition of natural ends. We agree with natural end, but not their definition. They say natural end means total destruction of things, which they call as niranvaya nashaha, end without a trace, bhavat abhava praptihi. But we say we do not accept niranvaya nashaha because we know nothing can be totally destroyed or nor created. In our teaching, destruction is antima vikaraha, the final form of modification, final form of radical modification of an existing thing. Charama bhava vikaraha nashaha. Charama vikaraha means the last one. Because in the sequence of vikaras, modifications, we have asti jayate vardhate viparinamate apakshiyate vinashyati. So we say radical modification is the end or destruction. death. It is a modification of an existent thing, and therefore we say even after destruction something remains. When we burn down something fully, after destruction what remains is ash. And that is why ash can symbolize Brahman also. Why? When everything is destroyed, what remains in our empirical experience is ash. And if you extend it, when the whole thing is destroyed, what remains is Brahman only. We are all essentially Brahman only. Anyway, it is an aside topic. We don't have to go into that, but just only I'm mentioning it as an aside information or point. And therefore, ash symbolizes Brahma. And that is why we apply ash, the forehead and the bodies. Of course, there are 12 places. So the idea to be noted is that even in 12, in total destruction, ash remains, and therefore there is no total destruction at all. So the fact is, in natural end, there is one sanvayanashaka. Niranvayanashaka is illogical. In natural end, there is only sanvayanashaka. So apradisankhya nirodha is illogical because it is nothing but niranvayanashaka and buddhism. The two abhavas are negated. And what is left behind is the third abhava. The third abhava is akashaha. The definition of akashaha is, as I told, is absence of things. That Vyasacharya is going to refute in Sutra 24 that we will read. Akashecha avisheshat. Akashecha avisheshat, Sutra 24, 195th running Brahma Sutra. So the argument against the Buddhist, that theory is continued. So first let us do the general analysis. So Vyasacharya does not give any argument to refute there. That means the Buddhist concept of akasha at all. Except he says that the third abhava is no better than the first two abhavas. As the first two are established by Vyasacharya as illogical, that pratisankhya, apratisankhya, both of them established by him as illogical, the third also is equally illogical. That's all he says. Thus, he gives a general reason of extrapolation. He does not give any specific reasons in the sutra. But Shankaracharya, he gives a few reasons in his bhashya. Now, let us give the word analysis of the sutra. Let us see the running meaning first. Avisheshat, being non-different from the twofold end or abhava discussed before. What are the twofold end? Pratisankhya and apratisankhya. Being non-different from the twofold end or abhava discussed earlier, we have to complete the sentence by saying your contention is untenable. Your means Buddhist. Buddhist contention is untenable. Akashecha. In the case of space also, this is the meaning of the sutra. Now let us see the significance of the words. Akashe, in the case of space also, which is the third abhava. Therefore, when you use the word akasha, we should know Buddhistic concept of akasha. Let us be careful, which is not a positive entity. According to Buddhist, akasha is not a positive entity, which is a negative entity and which is defined as absence of things. Therefore, akashe, in case of your akasha also, it is actually vishaya saptami, akasha vishaye, and chakara. Chakara means also. Therefore, in the case of space also, and why this also is given there also, chan? Because he is going to extend the logic to the akasha, the same logic which he discussed previously in the to negate the other two abhavas. In addition to the previous two abhavas, and therefore also, as in the case of natural and artificial ends, also here also. So in addition to the previous abhavas, the natural and artificial ends also, and the next one is avisheshat. Visheshaha means difference, distinction. And avisesha means non-difference or non-distinction, which means identity or identical. And avisheshat means, it is again panchami, heto panchami, hetvate panchami here. So being non-different or because of non-difference between the first, second and the third abhavas, pratisankhya, apratisankhya and akasha, three abhavas, there is no difference. This must only much is only given in the sutra. Now Vyasacharya says, I need not give any separate reasoning at all, and therefore your abhavatraya vada is illogical. Now he concludes and stops. Now we will see Shankaracharya's bhashyam in this regard, and he gives five simple arguments. First argument he gives is Shruti Pramana. But Shruti Pramana he should not give to whom? Buddhists don't believe in that. So even though we should never give Shruti Pramana to a Bauddha, because Shruti Pramana is not acceptable to the Bauddhas, but still Shankaracharya gives this because it is acceptable to us. Therefore he points out, Tasmadvaya Tasmadatmana Akasha Sambhutaka, the Taittiriya Upanishad Vakyam. Shruti clearly talks about the origination of Akasha. Tasmadva ye tasmadatmana akasha sambhutaha. So a non-existent existent thing cannot originate at all. We cannot create anything new. So abhavasya utpattihi katam syat. Tasmat akashaha bhava padartaha. Karyatvatim. And kasya karyatvat, what karyatkarim it is? Brahma karyatvat. Who has done this? Brahman. Brahma karyatvat. Ghatavate. That is the reason, like a pot. Like a potter makes a pot. This is the first reason he gives. And the second reason he gives is, in all the astika darshanas, akasha has been presented as a substance with the property of sound. Shabda guna ashrayaha akashaha. In Tarka Shastra, Nyaya Shastra, Vaisheshika Shastra, Sankhya Shastra, Yoga Shastra, in all the systems, Akasha has been defined as Shabda Guna Ashrayaha. And how did they arrive at it? Because they find that there are Panchabhutas. Panchabhutani, Akasha, Vayuhu, Agnihi, Apaha, Prithvi. And Panchagunas also, namely Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, and Gandha. And when you analyze these five substances and the five gunas, we find each guna is located in each bhuta, one guna. Thus, Gandha guna is located in Prithivi, smell. Thus, each bhuta has got one guna as its Vishesha guna, its specific character, its specific property. So, Jalam has rasa, taste, rasa guna. Agni has rupa, form. Vayu has got sparsha, touch, all those gunas. So four vishesha gunas for four elements. Now we have got only one guna left and one substance left. So the shabda guna and the substance is akasha. So the guna requires a substance and substance requires a guna. So this is called parisesha nyayaha, the leftover nyayaha. So parisesha guna is shabda. And the leftover substance, parisesha dravya, is akasha. Therefore, Nayayika uses the parisesha nyaya and establishes akasha is shabda gunaha. Why are we saying all this? Remember, if akasha is ashraya, support, the support of a specific property, namely sound, it must be a positive substance only. And an abhava or a nothingness cannot be the locus of a property. I hope you are with me, where we are going. An abhava or nothingness cannot be a locus of a property, namely shabda. And therefore, akasa should be taken and understood as a positive substance, which is the locus of a positive attribute, which is shabda guna. So akashaha bhava padartaha, not abhava. So bhava shabda guna ashrayatvat jalavat prithivivat agnivat, like agni, like jalam, like prithivi, as in the case of other bhutas. So this is the second reason. And the third reason Shankaracharya gives is, in their own system, the Buddhist system of philosophy itself, there is a series of dialogues elaborating which element depends on which element. And this dialogue begins with the Buddhists. Hey Bhagavaha. They are addressing like similar the way we do also in Upanishads and all that thing. Prithivi kim sam nishraya. Means what? Prithivyaha ashrayaha kaha. What is ashraya? Support for Prithivi. Then the ashraya is given as jalam. For Prithivi, the ashraya is given as jalam. Agni, and there is the flow of the Panchabhuta as the ashraya of the previous Bhutas. And the last portion of the dialogue is Vayuhu Kim Samnishrayaha. What is the ashraya support of Vayu? That's the final question. And they themselves answer, Buddhists themselves answer, Vayuhu Akasha Samnishrayaha. Vayu has the Akasha as the ashraya, the support. And if Akasha is an Abhava Padartha, that is the existent Padartha, a non-existent Padartha, if it is nothingness, what would be the answer? Vayu doesn't have support. That should be the answer. In fact, Vayu must be the final support if Akasha is not its support. So the very fact that Akasha is presented as the final support, it must be a Bhava Padartha only, supporting a Bhava Padartha, namely Vayu, existent substance. So Akasha is Bhava Padartha only. It is not nothingness. So Bhava Padartha Rupa Vayu Ashrayatvat, because it is the support of a Bhava Padartha Rupam Vayu. And what is the example? Vayu Vate. Just as Vayu, the Bhava Padartha supporting Agni, which is the Bhava Padartha supporting Jalam, which is Bhava Padartha supporting Prithivi, like that. Akasha is also, it must be Bhava Padartha, which is indirectly accepted by you, Buddhist. This is the third argument. And then the fourth argument Shankaracharya tries to give is, he says that Akasha, which is Abhava Padartha, which is Avarana Abhavaha, is Nitya. Shankaracharya asks, if you use an adjective Nitya, if Nityatvam can be an attribute, Visheshanam, attribute means Visheshanam, it can be a Visheshanam, how can you give this attribute to an Abhava, a non-existent Visheshyam? You can give an attribute, a Visheshanam, to an existent thing, not to a non-existent Visheshyam object. A Visheshanam presupposes what? A Visheshyam. If you add an adjective, let us say tall, then there must be a Visheshyam, a substance, a tall man, tall tree, something like that. Therefore, Nityatva Visheshanasya Bhava Visheshya Padartha Apekshitaha, that Padartha is Akasha. Therefore, what is the fourth argument now? Nityatva Guna Visishtatva, being endowed with the attribute of Nityatvam. Who gives? You yourself, given by you, the Buddhist, yourself. So this is the fourth argument, Nityatva Guna Visheshtatva. Then the fifth and the final argument, specific argument he gives is, this alone actually is the argument given to their contention. Now Shankaracharya asks a subtle question. He's going to be a little chakra. What is the definition of space? It is the absence of things. According to them, space is the absence of things. Avarana Abhavaha Akashaha. And incidentally, we will see the significance of the word avarana. What the Buddhist wants to say is absence of things. Akasha definition is absence of things by them. But instead of using the word padartha or vastu or dravyam or any of those, the thing he translates as, instead of calling the thing as padartha, vastu, dravyam, all that, he says that he translates the word thing as avarana. Because absence of things is a very interesting argument. Because absence of things in space, because that is what is the Akasha is, absence of things in space, and therefore presence of a thing removes space. Right? Absence of things is space. Space is defined as absence of things. So if there is presence of a thing, that means what? Space is removed. It removes space. Absence of things is space. Presence of a thing removes space, as it were. Therefore, every object is inimical to space. It conceals space as it displaces space. Therefore, the presence of a thing or things is concealment to the space. Therefore, things are called avarana. Look at the logic. Because they hide the akasha. Avarana means cover, hiding the akasha. That is why when someone enters the hall, let us say it's a full hall, no seat is available. And what we say there is no space. All spaces are displaced by people. We don't say all are sitting. We say there is no space. The space is concealed by the person who is sitting in the space, and this person is called Avaranam. The person is called Avaranam. So those days people try to receive a space in bus, trains and all that thing. They'll put a towel, they'll put a book, all that thing they put to reserve the space. Therefore, Avaranam means anything, and Avarana Abhavaha is absence of things. Now, Shankaracharya asked the question, suppose a bird flies in the sky. A bird is flying in the sky. Sky is space. So saying sky, we say sky, space. So a bird is a thing or not? It is a thing. And the thing is avaranam of space. We just saw the definition. A thing is avaranam of space. Therefore, the moment a bird flies in the sky, and avaranam has come, and once avaranam has come, the space is gone. The bird flies in the sky, space, and avaranam has come in the form of the bird, and once the avaranam comes, the space is gone. Because space is avarana abhavaha, absence of things is space. So one bird flies, avaranam has come. Once avaranam has come, avarana bhava, that is the bird bhava, negates avarana abhava, bird's presence. It negates avarana abhava, the absence. Absence of things. Avarana here is thing. We should understand avarana is thing. So bird, thing, bhava, presence, bird, presence of bird, it negates the absence of avarana. And once avarana abhava is negated, when that goes, avarana abhava is space, and if it is negated, therefore the moment the bird flies, the space is negated. Moment bird flies in the sky, space is negated. Akasha negated. And Shankaracharya asked the question, once the space is gone, then let us say a second bird, what happens? Space is gone. Second bird cannot fly now. There is no space because the space is gone. So avarana abhava is gone. Why it is gone? Because of avarana bhava. Abhava is absence. Bhava is presence. So avaranam is present now. A bird flies. And what is avaranam? The bird. Bird is the avaranam, the substance, the thing. Therefore, the second bird cannot fly now because space is gone. Then what should the Buddhist do now? He says, no, no. This second bird also flies. Where the first bird flies, in the location of the first bird, there is avaranam. That is true. Where the first bird flies, in the location of that bird, there is avaranam. That's the thing, that bird is there. And there is no avarana abhava. Avarana abhava is not there. Avaranam is there. And in another place where the bird is not flying, there is avarana abhava. Like there is nothing, no bird is there. Therefore, the Buddha says, in locus one, bird is there, the first bird. And in locus two, bird is not there. So in locus two, there is avarana abhava. There is no avarana at all. Abhava, there is no bird at all. Therefore, the second bird can go to locus two. Now, Shankaracharya says, you say in locus two, there is avarana abhava. Avarana abhava means there is no thing, no bird. Where the bird can fly, the new bird can fly there. Therefore, the bird can fly in locus two. And what is the definition of locus two now? Locus two is a locus of avarana abhava. Avarana abhava, because there is no thing. Avaranam is not there. Bird is not there. So that is where the new bird can go there. So locus two has become the locus of avarana abhava. Same thing put in different language. Now Shankaracharya asks, I define locus two as space, which is the locus of avarana abhava. Avarana abhava is not space. I hope you are with me. I define locus two as space, which is the locus of avarana abhava. Avarana abhava is not space, but the locus of avarana abhava is space. That is how he is trying to interpret this. I define locus two as space, which is the locus of avarana abhava. Avarana abhava means absence of that thing called bird. So avarana abhava itself is not space, but the locus of avarana abhava is space. Because you Buddhists say in locus two, the bird can fly. And what is the definition of locus two? Locus two is that locus of avarana abhava. Therefore, akasha is not avarana abhava, but akasha is the ashraya of avarana abhava. Locus means what? Ashraya. It's the support of avarana abhava. Avarana abhava means what? Is the absence of the thing called bird there. Therefore, how do you say now? Avarana abhava is akasha. That is how he's concluding the thing. How are you now concluding that avarana abhava is akasha? Therefore, akasha is a positive entity. In one place, bird is there. And in another place, bird abhava is there. Bird abhava means bird is not there. So akasha is the ashraya of avaranam, the thing, the bird, where the bird is there. And avarana abhava, where the bird is not there. Akasha is ashrayam for both. Where the bird is there, in that part of akasha, bird cannot go, the other bird. But there is another part of akasha where the bird can go. Therefore, akasha is bhava padartha and not abhava padartha. Bhava padartha means the existent thing. And not, it's presence, not absence. Absence of things. So actually you can perhaps think it over and see how to comprehend all these. It can be taking you in chakar. So this is called Pakshipatana argument. This is called Pakshipatana. This is called Nyaya Shastra. Argument used by all the later acharyas, Pakshipatana Nyaya. To negate the Buddhist concept of akasha. This is the standard argument used in Pakshipatana argument. Pakshipatana, patana means flying. So according to Buddhist philosophy, only one bird can fly in the sky and they can never logically explain the flying of the second bird. Only in Advaitin, a second bird can fly. I'm just joking a little. What is that? Yeah, bhava rupa akashaham, where there are so many conditioned parts, upadika parts are there. In one part, avaranam is there. That is, a bird is there. In another part, avarana abhava is there. We can have all those things we can. This is the sixth argument given by Shankara. That's Shruti Pramana, fifth argument. So Shruti Pramanatim, then Shabda Guna Ashrayatvatim, then Nityatva Guna Ashrayatvatim, then Vayu Ashrayatvatim, given by their own system anyway, and then Pakshi Patana Pramanatim. Because of these arguments, he concludes that akasha is a positive entity. In fact, for science, even now, akasha is not clear. They are trying to understand space. For a long time, they thought it is a non-entity or abhava. Then they postulated the theory of ether. Then they thought that theory was to be refuted. Then Einstein said it is an elastic padartha. Okay, space is elastic, which is bent in places. Where a dense thing is there, bending and all that, the gravitation, all those things. So they use things which we generally not that easily understandable. And one thing we understand, as Swamiji jokingly says, is that there is a lot of confusion regarding akasha, that we understand. And Swamiji says, the very fact that akasha is confusing people so much, that itself proves that it is a bhava padartha, because it is capable of confusing. So it should be there. It's not absence of a thing. There should be presence of thing to confuse someone. And so Swamiji gives another argument, confusion ashrayatva. In addition to all the other ones Shankaracharya gave, he says confusion ashrayatva akashaha bhava padartha. With this, akasha negation is also over. Now we will see the next sutra. next sutra in the next class. Yo vedadau swara prokto vedante cha pratishthitah tasya prakriti leenasya yaparasa maheshwarah purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnameva avasishyate om shanti 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 shri gurubhyo namaha hari om shri krishna.